Hey, Bill Sinyard here with another gospel rant. I actually have my daughter, Allison, Allie, with me. She is a true full-blooded millennial. The gospel rant is all about harnessing the power of the gospel and learning how to speak the gospel to various types of people and real people in the real world with real problems. And what do we mean by the simple, uncluttered gospel? It's this. Jesus follower, Christians, spirit-indwelt Christian, 2,000 years ago, strictly because of what Jesus did for you on your behalf, God has to, quote unquote, has to love you. He does love you as much as the Father loves the Son loves the Father. You can't mess it up. You can't add to it by good works, by church attendance, but you can't take away by not doing any of those things. And our thought here at the Gospel App and Take Heart YZ is, would it make a difference if we really believed that as Christians? I mean, we really felt that, not just check a box, but we felt it. So we're always exploring new ways of missionally speaking that gospel to real people. Well, Allie is very much into the Enneagram. So we had a debate just before he came on where she actually, where the concentration of it is, and she's in the South, I'm informed. The Southeast.
Sorry. In Tennessee.
So Bible Belt. Definitely Bible Belt, but appears to be a real dynamic growth and interest in Enneagram. Now, Allie, when I was looking at this in the 70s, I mean, it was in Christian circles, it was considered almost a cult.
But what hasn't been considered a cult?
Pecan pies?
I'm sure if you look hard enough, you could find something sketchy with anything. Yeah, and I think that that there is some different history, but I think there have been people who have kind of developed it into what I think can be a really helpful tool for personal and spiritual growth and self-awareness.
So that's our story. We're sticking with it. It's not a cultic.
Yeah, and we're not promoting cultic behaviors.
Right. So what is it?
The Enneagram, the word Enneagram is literally just a nine-pointed shape.
My head.
Just
never
like
mind.
Your
Sorry,
head.
I digress.
Yeah, but each point represents a number, and each number represents a type of personality. And where I found, and I understand the Enneagram more so than I do Myers-Briggs, and I don't claim to be an expert on
so
either.
So like Myers-Briggs.
Similar to Myers-Briggs in that it's supposed to be a tool to help people recognize their tendencies. Myers-Briggs, in my own experience of it, has been more based on behaviors, and I could totally be wrong, but the Enneagram really focuses on motivation and basic fears and questions that you're always trying to answer, and so I love the fluidity of it. So there are nine different types, but the goal is to develop empathy for each of the types and recognize that your perspective is not everyone's perspective, but also trying to grow in the areas of your life that you don't naturally lean towards. So recognizing that personality is a great thing, but it also typically stems from some need for protection.
So why would I want to know my personality? I mean, I guess I'm wearing masks. I get that. I admit that. But there's a reason I do that. Why would I want to know who I really am?
Well, I think even from just like a selfish standpoint, recognizing how your personality changes in times of like when you are threatened can be a really helpful thing to even just make you aware that you are feeling threatened in some way.
So an example being?
I'm a nine, an Enneagram nine. And
which it turns out I think I am too.
Potentially, okay. Which we're claiming for the week.
For the week.
I'm
a
nine.
I shift. That's right.
Takes on part of the six under stress. And
what does that look like?
They can take on the anxiety of a six. So they can, like for me, I know that there's something going on wrong in my soul when I'm spending a lot of time on WebMD, or I am questioning everything, or I'm processing ridiculous outcomes to things that I'm never speaking out loud because it's just internal anxiety. And really, I didn't actually recognize that was happening. And I think part of that is just the nature of being a nine is we tend to kind of be numb to our own feelings. But I recognized, oh my gosh, wait, there is a correlation between when something is off in my heart mm-hmm. And the amount of time I spend on WebMD. Mm-hmm. And I started recognizing that this can actually be a helpful tool for me to realize, oh no, like I need to look at how I can spiritually grow in this mm-hmm. moment or mm-hmm. get back in tune with myself mm-hmm. and recognizing, personality is also a stemming of how to meet your needs. So recognizing your limits and your boundaries, and each person has like that looks different for each person.
So this is how we were made. This philosophy, God made us this way with mm-hmm. 9 basic, generic personality types. I mean, mm-hmm. we're all very different, but.
Right? And there's lots of research on like subtypes and different wings, and so like 9 factorial, if you will.
But, right.
Yes. Yeah.
But there's 9 sort of camps, like in the book you recommended to me. What is it?
The Road Back to You by Ian Cron, and co-written with Suzanne Stabile.
And we don't make a percentage off of that. But no. It's really good, and he does talk about it spiritually. He does talk about it related to God, which I really like. But he says it's like there's only a couple of basic colors, mm-hmm. but there's 1,000 versions of red.
Yes.
But you look at it and go, well, that's red.
Right.
And there's even combinations, mm-hmm. red and green, and right.
And I like that he addresses, and I don't know if he addresses it in the book or if it's in a podcast, but he talks about like, let's recognize that God doesn't lean a certain way, right? Like of these 9 types are
God
really,
doesn't have one of these personality types.
Right. So he is the healthy, I'm air quoting and you can't hear that, but
I heard it.
Thank you. He is the healthy attributes of all of these 9 things. Okay. And so even though it's focusing more on
each
fears,
is a reflection of him.
It's also a reflection of him. Mm-hmm. And so if mm-hmm. we can study it and recognize mm-hmm. the beauty mm-hmm. of each of these types, we can actually learn more about the Father by relating with others.
And people do go through the Bible and look at the various characters, Paul, Abraham, and say, which, right?
Yeah.
That's not where we're going to go. We're going to go, what differences make in my relationship to God and relationship to other people?
Mm-hmm.
We're being missional here. So the idea is, what difference does the single gospel make in the life of a 9 or a distressed 9 or an unhealthy 9 or 8 or 7 or 1? To see if
the other numbers are never
forget
is what you're saying.
Yeah, and only 9s were the only unhealthy ones. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Tell us about the 9 points, the 9 Enneagram types.
Okay, so when we were talking about this podcast, we kind of took the angle of, well, perfect love casts out all fear. And so what if we focus specifically on the core fears of each of the numbers?
Okay.
So this is not, I'll say this is not my own information. I am not all of these numbers, and so I don't claim to know all this. But I think, so if we just start kind of by describing the numbers,
yeah, and then say the fear, that's good. And then each subsequent podcast will take one of the numbers and run with it.
Okay.
And destroy them personally.
Great, rip them apart.
So be afraid.
Our goal is to destroy
perfect love, cast that out.
Welcome to the cult that is not cultish at all.
Right.
Okay. Well, so the 1 has, each one has like different names, and the original Enneagram was not given these titles, but people kind of changed it.
And it's not
on
good or bad,
it.
But the one does, the name is does not sound good.
Well, it depends on who you are.
If you're 1, I guess.
No, so typically, and
go
I'll
ahead,
just say,
describe
yeah,
the 1.
Okay. But I will say, typically, you are the most disgusted by the number that you are when you're reading over all of them. You're like, ugh, who would do that? And then you're like, oh, it's because I have shame. But
okay.
Anyways, side note. So 1s are typically known as the perfectionist,
the
improver, or the...
I like that better.
Oh, there's something has to do with justice, and I can't think of the reformer. There it is.
Mm.
So they are.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah.
Let's
so they are typically the people that are struggling with having a very loud self-critic, because they always see what something could be, not what it actually is.
They never achieve perfection.
Yes. So stereotypically, they are the more Type A, they've got a very specific way to load the dishwasher, and if you don't do it that way, you will know it. Or in unhealth, they can often be critical of others because they're reflecting, or not reflecting, projecting what they expect of you or themselves, which is perfectionism, but they also are...
So they could be critical.
They can be critical. Unhealthy. But yeah. Also thinking about that word, like, reformer, they're also the people that are fighting for justice because they see things mm-hmm. very black and mm-hmm. white. And so when something is wrong, mm-hmm. they are the people that will make sure it is right. Their core emotion is anger, and they are known for, they're in the anger triad, so they are known for using that anger for productive capabilities. So they are fueled by something is wrong, I'm going to fix it.
Okay.
The two is typically known as the helper, and I can't think of the other name for it. But the two's underlying kind of motivation is they need to be needed. So they are the people that are really good at recognizing when someone needs something. They are great friends to have. They are the ones who want to be there for you, who are going to show up with meals when you're sick. They mm-hmm. are not going to wait for you to ask. They're going to be there. Mm-hmm. The danger with that is often they can expect the same treatment, but they mm-hmm. don't often mm-hmm. ask for it or know how to speak for it mm-hmm. because they so automatically run to, what can I help with? What can I do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, these are ones in the church that eventually complain, I'm doing too much. Why isn't anybody else helping?
Right. And they can be very taken advantage of because they're the first to sign up.
And that too.
Yeah. Really kind people. They tend mm-hmm. to be the people who mm-hmm. you want to talk to, mm-hmm. who...
Right. Yeah, we do tend to abuse them. That's a good point.
Let's see. And they are part of the, I think it's the gut triad. I would need to look at that. And also each number.
More yet to come.
Yes. And each number is connected to two other numbers in stress and security. And also people tend to have wings. So there are many different connections within this.
So perfectionist, the helper.
The three is the achiever or the performer. Mm. The threes are known as being typically very charismatic, very adaptable. They are typically known as being leaders, and their basic fear is not being valued. So they are...
By others.
By others. Mm-hmm. And so they're mm-hmm. trying to prove it by being the best at whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so failure is very hard for a three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, threes need affirmation.
As you're thinking of these, you're thinking of actual people you know who fit these categories.
I'm not willing to say.
Yeah. But I'm looking at you going, yeah.
But I know at least one person in every category at this point who is like claiming it. And each one kind of has their own deadly sin as well as something that like it really gives them a beautiful perspective in the world. So I'm just kind
of... When we dig deep, we'll talk about what it looks like when they're healthy, when they're unhealthy, okay. what their sin is, and then what difference the gospel makes.
So. I'm very nervous that I'm being unfair to types. I don't have any favorites. I'm just saying the first things that I know about all of these numbers. The four is the individualist or the artist, I've heard it be called.
Romantic, I've heard.
Romantic. And again, none of these names are my own. These are ones that I've heard from various authors. So no credit claimed.
So you've read a lot about this. I mean, you're a resident expert here at Gospel Ed.
No. I am not an expert at all. I've had lots of conversations about it, which I find to be the most helpful.
Yeah, I'm fascinated that the young adults are having conversations, and this is one of the things they're talking about.
Yeah, I rejected it at first, but we can talk about that later.
All right, romantic.
Yeah, so the fours, underlying fear is being abandoned because there's something inherently missing or wrong with them.
Childhood stuff?
Maybe, like maybe something happened or was taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
So they really have this push to be unique and to be recognized as an individual so they can show how they bring value, if you will.
Artist?
Yes. So I've heard it mm-hmm. said that they are comfortable with melancholy, which is an interesting phrase to me. It doesn't mean that all fours are sad people,
right?
But it does mean that they like to linger in that reflective.
They're emotive.
Very emotive. Mm-hmm. So not all fours are artistic people,
mm-hmm.
But they really value going deep quickly and
they want to be noticed.
Want to be noticed.
Okay. Yeah, that's a problem.
For something.
Yep. Okay, five.
Yeah. 5 is the investigator.
Which is what I thought I was, and now I'm not sure.
Yes. Yeah, so they are motivated by a need to function well in Check. The world.
Check.
Maybe. So the investigator, or I've also heard it said as the observer mm-hmm. or the collector.
Check.
So this is a person who is very aware, typically, of their social stamina. Not that they are all introverts, but they mm-hmm. tend to know, okay, now I need to retreat, or what it might be. I've heard the term inner sanctum mm-hmm. In reference to a 5. They tend to be very hungry for information, and they're fueled by an interest in a specific information. So they want to collect knowledge or collect
things. Do they hoard it? Is that one of their...
5s, I believe that they're... I want to say that their thing might be gluttony. No, the 7 is gluttony. Yeah, but they can be known as hoarders. Or it could be information. It could be items. It could be paraphernalia. You know, like it could be whatever it might be.
Books for me.
Yeah. So I would say I think caves are kind of expected when it comes to 5.
I could be a 5.
Yeah, but they also feel pressured to like be able to answer things. Like there's this intellectual.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never had that pressure. anyways,
low bar, just a low bar.
The 6 is the loyalist, and I can't remember the other name for it. Mm-hmm. 6s are interesting in that within the 6 there can be 2 opposite. 6s, it's the only type like that. So you can be counterphobic 6 or a phobic 6.
What does that mean?
Phobic is you are reacting. So both of them are obviously a relationship with fear. And 6 is all about where they stand with authority. So a phobic 6 is going to respond in fear and kind of run. A counterphobic 6 is going to notice the fear and reject it. And they tend to look more like an 8 versus responding in anxiety.
Meaning?
We'll get to that. Like challenging.
Oh, I can't wait.
So
just
challenging authority. So okay. A 6 can either...
be very loyal or challenge.
Be very loyal or challenge. Okay. And often 6s, it
good
depends...
Good employee.
Yeah. Well, it could depend on the authority. It could depend on the 6. Are they always counterphobic, or are they somebody who, depending on the situation, can kind of swing either way? Mm-hmm.
Depends who
they're loyal to.
Could be the silo people.
Yes.
The people who...
Yes. But they're very dedicated. The 6s I know are not quick. They're not fickle people. They are quick. What I mean is they're not quick to change their mind. They're not quick to drop friends.
People who stay in church for a long time?
Maybe. Depending I honestly on. Don't... I've got to think about the 6s that I know. The ones that I'm thinking of don't attend church.
Okay.
But an organization that they have submitted to, or a boss, they will
tend to be loyal.
They will fight to defend their honor. But 6s are typically the people that
you have a little of that to stay faithful to the right.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles, even though
that's because I'm not a bandwagon.
That'll be another topic for another
and
day.
And the Eagles won. Okay. So the core thing about the 6 that I was going to say, and then you pushed
cut
me off.
I was being relevant.
is that the 6s...
Our people want to know.
Stop it. The 6s... they are the people who have thought through every outcome always. So they are typically the most prepared in like emergency situations, because everything has gone through in their head. So they're like the people with the mom bag, and they're like, oh, don't worry. Like when somebody passes out, I have, you know, stereotypically.
Okay.
The 7 is the enthusiast. I forget another name that I've heard for it. But the 7s, they are motivated by a fear of pain. So everything they do is in order to escape pain, distract from pain, make light of it.
Emotional pain as well. I mean, like now we know loneliness is a pain in our brain.
Yes. So I'm thinking more so emotional pain than physical pain. So 7s stereotypically are the people who are skydiving and doing adventurous things. And not all 7s have to be like that. But typically they can be very funny people because they, when something is really dark, they're going to find light in it, or they're going to pull a prank and distract from the situation. So they're not quick
fun to have around, but you're not sure if you know them.
Yeah. Oh, but you always want them there.
Okay.
Yes.
The life of the party.
Life of the party.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Eight.
Eight is the challenger. This one is always very intriguing to me. It says here on relevantmagazine.com that their underlying fear is being hurt or controlled. So the way this was kind of explained to me is an eight typically has some sort of bullying in their background, like somebody has bullied them. And so when they see someone being belittled, they are projecting themselves on that person, and they are a mama bear. Like they are, or dada bear. Dada, I don't know.
Dada bear?
Dada boy.
In the group.
Yeah, so they are the ones who are going to challenge whoever hurts their, whatever they've taken under their wing. Mm-hmm. So they can be known as very bold and brash people.
That's the healthy eight. The unhealthy eight
is going to be very bold and brash people, and everyone is against them, and they're going to be loud, and they're going to pick fights because that's how they show that they're in control. You don't control them. And so as long as they can show that they have no chains on them.
So I read Patton, for instance, General Patton, a lot of the CEOs, a lot of presidents and prime ministers and dictators would have been eights.
Probably, but also I would say probably a lot of activists are eights, like people who are saying, like,
take a cause and run with
it. Or people who have been marginalized. Mm. An eight is going to head up that cause, and they do not care who they offend. They do not, you know, like they are going to to make sure that
Greenpeace.
And I, again, don't
Black
have,
Lives Matter, leadership.
Right. Eights and ones are, you know.
Okay. They get stuff done.
Get stuff done.
And yet, unhealthy, they can beat up people.
Yes.
Okay. All right, last one, nine.
Nine.
Which, by the way, we think we are, just for full disclosure.
The irony is I always get tired by the time I get to nines when I talk about this.
Yeah, we should start with nine. And we're the best. Right?
So nines are confusing.
I think you want to, we'll have to edit that out.
Okay. So it says here, again, on relevantmagazine.com, that our underlying fear is being separated from others.
That's the peacemaker, right? That's what we are.
Yeah. And so the biggest thing is conflict. So we are working always to maintain inner and outer peace. Mm-hmm. So that's within our soul. Emotion is risky. Mm-hmm. Expressing it as well as feeling it.
Right.
So we often can tend to zone out or detach. We also are known for merging with other numbers, so we're also very commonly misidentified because we see attributes of all the numbers in ourselves, as well as people see themselves in us or what they need us to be, because nines can also be very adaptable. On the positive side of that is it comes with extreme empathy.
So typically
we're feeling other people's feelings, maybe even more so than they are. But we also are absorbing that, and there's not typically room for us to be aware of our own feelings.
So we burn out.
So we burn out quick. Mm-hmm. And we often don't even realize that we're not being ourselves. Like, we are being ourselves, but we're not fully in tune.
It's subconscious. We're not doing this on purpose.
No. It's not always manipulative. It can lead to, as a number in the anger triad, it can lead to passive aggression, because we often, it is a number similar to two. It can be really taken advantage of because the nine doesn't often realize that it's happening, or will just not cause the conflict to stand up for themselves.
So when I was in seventh grade, I had a friend, Alan Shelton, and I liked the music that he liked, even though I don't know if I did or not. But I always liked the songs that he liked, and he would memorize the songs and sing them. So I would memorize the songs and sing them just so that I would be liked by Alan Shelton.
Yeah.
Is that nine-ish?
Maybe. It's also a middle school thing.
It could be his insecurity,
right? Yeah. But I
took on his persona.
Yeah.
I took on his likes. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the songs are pretty cool, but they wouldn't have been my first choice.
See, and I wonder, and I feel like we're already getting into a nine podcast here, but I'll say I feel like I'm pretty aware of who I am. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a me becoming other people, mm-hmm. but I'll be in conversations with people where they'll get really riled up about something, mm-hmm. and I'll be feeling their passion, mm-hmm. and I'm right there with them, and I meet mm-hmm. them there.
Okay, that's
and
a
so
healthy.
They feel, though. Yes, but then I'll leave, and maybe I didn't agree with what they were saying, but okay. they feel like I have just been there with them. Like, yeah. we are kindred yeah. spirits.
Your soul sister soul.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And so I've had to come back and think, wait a second, what did I actually say? What did I actually agree to? Yeah. And was I agreeing or was I just listening and empathizing
right.
with them?
Right.
And I need to often separate myself.
I would never do anything like that.
It's... Yeah. Yeah.
All right. This is about as long as we want to go for our podcast. But all of this is going to eventually veer back to what difference does the gospel make to unhealthy versions of each of those things, mm-hmm. so that we can actually be whole, that we can actually flourish, so we can actually be good partners and good friends and have good conversations and care for each other without using each other, right? I mean, mm-hmm. and every one of the nine needs that,
mm-hmm.
right? We want to be healthy, and the gospel takes baby steps right now to make us healthy, not to change us from a nine to a five or a five to a three or whatever, mm-hmm. but to be the best we can be. Baby steps. This is not heaven. And that's the goal of the gospel, and that's what we look forward to in the gospel app. Okay. So, thank you for making it all the way through this podcast. We are going to start with one of the podcasts. We haven't decided which one, but mm-hmm. we will start, and it'll probably roll out in a couple of days. So, take heart, child of God.
There's no better way to start your day than spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Don't know where to start? We have a free daily prayer podcast created to help you do just that. The Your Daily Prayer podcast delivers a thoughtful devotional and timely prayer to you 7 days a week. Gain inspiration, faith, and encouragement with daily messages in 10 minutes or less. To start listening now, search Your Daily Prayer on your favorite podcast app or visit lifeaudio.com.